All right, good afternoon and happy new year. Good to see you again. There are a lot of firsts today, this afternoon. The first afternoon to worship God, right? And your first communion in 2026, later on. What else? A new beginning, a new year. Some of you go back to school tomorrow. So a lot of new, a lot of firsts in this new year. So, it's going to be a lot of adjustment, you know. But I want to thank you for the opportunity to be here to share with you. This is going to be my last message on my series called The Seven Sayings of Jesus. And instead of going through this with you during Good Friday, I think I have chosen to spread it out so that, you know, we can take time to take a look at each of Jesus' saying. I think what you have seen or what you have learned is more than just something that we can apply, you know, during the Good Friday weekend. The same thing that you saw when Jesus, you know, made the seven saying, they are applicable to our Christian life, to our relationship with Him in general. So, can we have this next slide? So this is just a very general review, okay? So this is what Jesus said the first time. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Next. And then the second, Jesus said, you know, He was saying to one of the thieves who turned to Him the very last moment, and He was so ready to assure him and help him by saying that, truly, I tell you, today you're going to be with Me in paradise. All right, next. And then He turned to His mother and one of His beloved disciples. A lot of time, you know, we focus mainly on Jesus asked His beloved disciples to take care of His mom, okay? Which is true, okay? But if we sort of take a step back, you know, he took His responsibilities in general very serious, okay? Not even His pain, not even His dying stopped Him from fulfilling what He knew was something that, you know, he had to do. So He was a very, like, responsible person. Like, the broader principle from this saying is Jesus took His responsibility seriously. Next one. And then, this is one of the famous, famous sayings, you know. It looks like he cried out to God and questioned God, why do you leave Me? Okay? Why do you not look at Me? That kind of thing. But as I have shared with you, this is not the case. Because when Jesus said that, it was actually the first line in Psalm 22. You need to go home and read that psalm yourself, okay? So he was saying scriptures, okay? So he was not complaining per se, because what he said here is actually the first line in Psalm 22, okay? Fifth. And then he said he was thirsty, and he was, because he was losing blood, you know, a lot. And also because of the sun, you know, the sun shone on him until between 12 to 3. But before that, you know, he was under the sun a lot, plus his condition. So physically, he was thirsty. And also, the thirsty is so that he could have a sip of drink, so that he would be, like, summoning up his last strength to say the sixth, which is the next line. The next line is the most famous. It's called, it is finished, okay? He needs to have that energy. He needs to have that last push for him to say this, because this line is very, very famous. It's very, very important. And after saying this, he say one more thing, which is next one, which is the one I want to focus with you. And the last thing is, Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. When he has said this, he breathed his last. I don't know about you, for a long, long time, I thought, you know, if Jesus finished off with, "It is finished," that would be the grand finale, okay? But after Jesus saying, "It is finished," he said one more thing. And I was wondering, why did he say that? What was the purpose? Okay, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Okay, so what I plan to do is to give you some observation first before I get into what I really want to talk about. Okay, next slide. So these are the observation I made when I was preparing today's message. Behind the seventh saying, number one, I didn't know that Jesus said the seventh saying in a loud voice. Again, for a long time, I thought when he said it is finished, he said it in a loud voice, and then that is understandable. But after he said it is finished, probably he will scale back and say, "God, I commit my spirit into your hand," or something. But that is not what Luke said. Luke said, you know, he said the seventh saying with a loud voice. Okay? It's number one. Number two, the seventh saying was said in a form of a prayer. You know that? How do we know that? Because he began the seventh saying by saying, "Father." If you go back in the same chapter, Luke 23, when Jesus said the first saying, the first saying was also in a form of a prayer. "Father, forgive them." Okay? And he ends the entire saying, which is the seventh now, by praying to God, but in a loud voice. Okay? He was praying to God in a loud voice and committing his spirit to God. All right? Number three, when Jesus said, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." Do you know that that was an exact quotation from Psalm 31, verse 5? He did not invent that sentence. He took it from Psalm 31, verse 5, exact quote. He repeat that exactly, verbatim. Okay? So this is the quotation. Another one. In his saying, he committed his spirit to God, into God the Father's hand. At this point, you may not know what he meant, or you may not even know the significance. We'll get to that a bit later. But at least you know that he was committing his spirit into the hands of God the Father. One more thing. After he finished saying the seventh sentence, or the seventh saying, Luke said he breathed his last and he died. Okay? So this is what happened. Okay, next. Now, there are three things I want to pick it up quickly. Number one is, remember what I said? Jesus spoke the seventh saying in a loud voice. Okay? And in my study, in my preparation, I came across a quote that I believe is very helpful, and I put it on the screen, and you can also see that. And I'm making a quotation now, okay? So this is what this person said. "Notice the loud voice," okay? "Scarcely what one would expect from a man about to die. But Jesus seems determined that his final words be heard. His words are firm and confident." End of quote. All right? So, behind the loud voice, first, the loud voice displays Jesus firm and confident in what he said to God the Father, okay? And another thing is, why did he say it in a loud voice? It's because he wants people to hear the content of that saying. You don't say things loud if you don't want people to know, right? And remember, after Jesus saying this, he breathed his last, meaning he died. So, he really wanted people to know what the seven sayings is about. That is probably one of the reasons he said it in a loud voice. Okay? So that is the first thing I want you to know. Second thing, I want you to know that Jesus' life was not taken away from him. But instead, Jesus said, I lay down. Active voice, not passive voice. Jesus' life was not taken away from him. He laid down his life for our sake, for our sins. Okay? This is what he said in John chapter 10, verse 17 and 18. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up. No one takes it from me. That's why I said his life was not taken away from him. No one take it away from me. But I lay down my life on my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father. Okay? So why is this so important? It's because we don't want you to see Jesus' death as a victim. He was not a victim. He was not a victim. Okay? His death was not because something, you know, took his life away. No. Jesus said it very clearly in John. I laid down my life. I did it on my own choice. I did it out of my willingness. Okay? That is very different. Okay? You need to know that Jesus chose to die for our sins. And Jesus did it on the cross on our behalf willingly. And that is how he laid down his life for our sins. And because Jesus said, I lay it down and I can pick it up, it's not out of someone, it's not out of something, it is all in his hands. He has the right or he has the power to lay it down. And he has the right and he has the power to take it up again. That is what the resurrection, 3 days later. Okay? Next slide. And there's one more thing. And the thing is, remember the seventh saying is, he was saying to God the Father, into your hand I commit my spirit. Alright? So he committed his spirit into the hands of the Father. He could have committed, have you ever thought about Jesus could have committed his spirit into the grave or into the void or into the dark unknown? But this is not what Jesus commit his spirit to. Out of so many things that Jesus could have committed his spirit, he chose to commit his spirit into the hands of the Father. Okay? And you have to ask why. What is such significance for Jesus to commit his spirit into the hands of the Father? Well, first, you need to know the word commit. In Greek, it means to entrust to someone for safekeeping or to entrust someone to the care and protection of someone. All right? When you commit something of yours into something else, you believe that that person either will be able to take care of what you commit to the person, or you believe that the person has the power or capability to do so, right? Otherwise, you won't. Okay? So this is what Jesus did. He trusts in the Father, and he knew that the Father was more than capable of anyone or anything in this entire universe. Okay? God the Father, if you're talking about security, God the Father is the most secure place to commit whatever. And that is what Jesus chose to do. In John chapter 10, verses 27 to 28, this is what Jesus said. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, God the Father now is in the picture, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. Talking about capability, power, the most secure place that you can find. So when Jesus said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit, he placed his precious life under the power, under the most secure hands of God the Father. And this is what he did. And because he has done that, he has also secured our salvation. You know that? When you commit your life to Christ, Jesus has taken your life from you because you gave it to him or you invite him, and he placed it into the hands of God the Father. Do you know that? You are secure in the hands of God the Father if you have invited Jesus into your life. Okay? And this is what happened. You need to know that your relationship with God and your salvation experience is in a very secure, is in the most secure place, into the hands of God the Father. And this is what Jesus not only accomplished when he made the seventh saying, this is also what he has done for us. Okay? So, what may be the implication or the application? Well, the negative thing is, you do not need to wait until you die to commit your spirit into the hands of God. Okay? Of course you can. But you don't need to wait until before you die. Okay? You already know that your relationship with Jesus, your salvation, is in the most secure hands. In this case, the hands of God the Father. You need to know that. And out of that assurance, or out of that understanding, you learn to commit whatever you have in your hands. Whatever you have, or whatever you own, into the hands of God the Father. You don't have to wait until the moment before you die to do that. Jesus did that. But he did that for himself, and he did that for us. So for us, we learn to commit whatever we have right now to God. And that should be the daily practice. You understand what I'm saying? I don't know whether you have done that or not, but if you have not, you should. You should begin that practice. Every day, after you wake up, you commit the rest of the day into the hands of God. You commit what you're about to do, your agenda, into the hands of God. You commit your struggle into the hands of God. You commit whatever decision, big or small, into the hands of God. That is what you do. That is what you do regularly because of what Jesus did. Father, into your hands, I commit my spirit. All right? I want to give you one example, and then one promise, and then I'll close. You know what? In the Bible, Jesus, he did that, okay? But there's another person, some years later, before he died, he also committed his life into the hands of God. Can you guess who? Is that person, you will be able to find that in the book of Acts, chapter 7. Do you know who? Stephen. He was stoned to death, right? But before he died, he knelt on the ground and he committed his life into the hands of God. Okay? Go home if you have time, if you're interested, go home and read Acts chapter 7, the final verse, and you will see that. Okay? So we see Stephen in the Bible. In the church history, there are many other people who did similar thing. In my study, I came across some people. One probably is quite familiar. Probably you have heard that name, Martin Luther. He also did that. Before he died, he committed his spirit into the hands of God. Okay? But like I said, you don't have to wait until before you die. You can start practicing committing whatever you have into the hands of God right now. Why? Because the most secure place you cannot find on earth. You can only find it in God. So because you already know that truth, You need to start practicing committing your daily agenda, your difficulties, or even your happiest moment into the hands of God. And what do you do when you turn this into a daily practice? This is the promise that I want to pass it on to you. It's taken from Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3. Proverbs 16, verse 3. Commit to the Lord whatever you do. Okay? Whatever. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and He will establish your plans. That is the promise. Proverbs 16, 3. So if you're young people, or generally all of you, I encourage you to practice. If you have sons and daughters, teach your sons and daughters to commit whatever they have into the hands of God. If you have grandchildren, teach your grandchildren the similar thing from their young. When they ask you why, you just simply tell them, because the Jesus that we believe, He is the most powerful being, He is the most capable person, and you will never be able to find another one or another thing on earth other than Jesus. So that's why we learn to commit whatever we have into His hand. Before Jesus died, He also committed His precious spirit into the hands of God the Father. He could have committed to luck, chances, or the void, or the unknown darkness, out of so many things that Jesus could think of. He chose to commit His precious life into the hands of God. For His sake, and also to lay the groundwork for our salvation experience. So that's why. Okay? So that is, even though the seventh saying, usually people may not think of it like this, but that is the truth. Jesus provides us with the strongest security. That's why you can depend on Him. That's why you need to commit whatever into His hands. All right, so let's pray. Father, we thank You for the opportunity to study each of these sayings Jesus made when He was on the cross. Thank You for giving us time, and thank You for helping us to know that each saying can have something that we can take away, so that we not only appreciate what Jesus did or what Jesus said, but we also are thankful because the benefit behind each saying is something that we can personally experience with Jesus. Thank You for Your love for us, and thank You for not only caring for us, but You have done all You can for our benefits, so that by inviting You into our lives, we not only have You as our Lord, we not only has a new beginning, but we can also enjoy all these promises that You have made to us in the Bible. We are thankful and we appreciate what You have done. And in return, Lord, we pray that You will remind us to begin to practice of committing whatever things into Your hands. And as we do so, help us to discover new appreciation or new experience, so that we will need to keep coming back to You, because You are the most securing place that we can ever have. We thank You and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. There's one more thing I want to say. You start from small. You commit the small things to Jesus, okay? And then you start committing bigger things. And then you start committing important things. Finally, you commit.